Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. What if I told you there was a piece of art that's being played that says we should murder white people, or why not murder white people? And also, unfortunately, one of my predictions came true around something in Portland. We're going to go through that and so much more. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support and email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Parents have sat idly by for far too long and allowed their children to be taught values that are against the fabric of America, the history of America, where character is not taught, and parents have sat idly by. I do not have a good reason as to why. I have some guesses, but the more and more we uncover and we publicize around our government school system and even some of these private schools, I think it warrants a disproportionate historic response from parents and adults to rise up against this. Now, either parents don't care, which I think some parents truly don't. Parents don't know how to fight back, or they don't think it's that bad. Well, one parent in particular, who we did an entire episode on a couple weeks ago, by the name of Andrew Gutman, he's a New York City father who removed his daughter from Brearley. He wrote this long piece that was published on Barry Weiss's website. Very articulate man, and we consider him to be a hero. And we need 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 Andrew Gutmans immediately. And if you're a parent listening to this, maybe in New York City, maybe in Boston, maybe in Alabama, maybe in Nevada, or maybe in Washington, Seattle is just in Snohomish, Washington, great place. If you do not take responsibility for your child and what they are learning, somebody else will. As soon as the totalitarians are able to influence your child with critical race theory, you might lose your child forever. Play cut 42.
You know, they had a Zoom assembly at the very beginning of the school year where the head of school talked about some of the initiatives that they were going to do, and they made it seem like they're going to integrate this racial curriculum, this anti-racism curriculum, into everything, every class, into math, into gym, PE. I mean, it was sort of shocking that they were taking this, you know, to that degree of integrating it into everything. I mean, clearly it's been integrated, you know, mostly into the literature, English curriculum, into the history curriculum. They have, it seems like daily, I know they're not daily, but they're probably weekly assemblies, what they call community time in the middle school, where they talk about these issues. And it's just become pervasive.
In every single class, it is happening. So Andrew Gutman realized this, and he wrote a beautiful letter saying, "We are pulling our daughter out of Brearley. We are not going to sit idly by while this indoctrination occurs." Cut 43 says that private school parents are pressuring them. They're being pressured to become BLM activists. Cut 43.
Completely different, completely new. To have parents required to adopt, you know, what they believe. And it's more than just a curriculum. You know, they advocated for Black Lives Matter. And they want families to advocate for Black Lives Matter. And you know, again, you can agree with Black Lives Matter. You can disagree with Black Lives Matter. You can agree with some of what Black Lives Matter stands for. But to say that we want your daughter from kindergarten through 12th grade. We want your family to be an activist.
We want your family to become an activist. That is what private schools are teaching. And so now a new video has been surfaced. This is where this leads, which is an outright hatred of white people. Now, I've been told that this video is not a parody. It's hard for me to believe that it's not a parody, but I've been told it's not a parody. And it says, why don't we murder more white people? And it says, we do not want to kill white people. We want to kill whiteness. This was displayed at a state-funded art museum in San Francisco for several weeks. This is part of a trend of the cult of ugly, where art is nothing more than a provocative middle finger to truth, goodness, and the West. Cut 44.
We can kill all the white people in this, like we were just talking about. Hell, the black and brown people have internalized whiteness. What we have to eradicate is whiteness. What, you know, this whole notion of white genocide. We don't want to kill white people. We want to kill whiteness.
We don't want to kill white people, but we want to kill whiteness. The name of this video is Why Don't We Murder More White People? Question mark. It's a little hard to understand because of all the overemphasis on music. Cut 45. This is what's being displayed in an art museum in San Francisco. This is where this indoctrination leads. This is what happens when parents don't care and they only care about the children going to Stanford, Princeton, Yale, University of Chicago, or Northwestern. You're going to get some seriously dark stuff. Cut 45.
I don't think anyone deserves harm.
I don't think anyone deserves harm.
I don't think white people deserve harm.
No, white people don't deserve harm. I think whiteness, maybe, the idea of, like, protecting whiteness should be definitely harmed and, like, destroyed.
Whiteness must be destroyed. And then finally, cut 46 in the video that is being shown to children at the art museum in San Francisco, Why Don't We Murder More White People? That says harm is radical, but sometimes radical is needed. It reminds me of Ibram X. Kendi, who is teaching your child, by the way, most likely in a school across the country, who says that the only way to solve discrimination is more discrimination. Cut 46.
I think if you're not supporting people of color, anti-white supremacy, and you're neutral, or you are that person that's perpetrating it, then you shouldn't. I think you deserve harm.
I think that harm is radical, but I think sometimes radical is needed.
And I think we're taught to think about violence in a certain way, that, like, you don't want to be violent because that would make you look bad or something, or, like, make you and your community look bad. But whiteness is violence.
I know the audio might be a little hard to hear, but saying that harm is radical and sometimes radical is needed. Where is this headed? This is a pretty graphic example, but whatever. Helter Skelter. Charlie Manson wanted to start a race war in our country. If you don't know who Charlie Manson is, you're very lucky because he was a dark, disturbed, awful person. Famously, he murdered the either fiance or girlfriend, pregnant girlfriend of Roman Polanski, not exactly a good guy. There's a movie that has dramatized this in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a Quentin Tarantino film recently. Actually a pretty good film, despite the fact that they're all anti-American apparatchik leftists. Actually a pretty good film. They want to start a race war in this country. But then you might ask yourself, well, Charlie, who would actually want to start a race war? Who benefits from that? Here's how this works. Again, this is what we try to do on this program because we just look at what's happening, what has happened in human history, and where it will lead us next. Well, when you're able to get people to focus on race all the time, then you are going to force a white identitarian response. And then once a white identitarian response is forced by the left, they'll say, see, I told you, look at all the racists. When in reality, that response was created and manufactured by the leftist radicals themselves by publishing articles and videos that say, why don't we murder more white people? When you have videos like that, how do you think people are going to respond? I hope they respond decently and don't care about skin color. But I also know the history of tribes. I know once you declare war on a tribe, some people are going to try and respond. And then once they respond, then the John Brennan types will have their examples, their evidence to submit to Congress to create the permanent surveillance state. Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com. What is going on with the Republican Party? Who's in charge and what does the future of the Republican Party look like? Well, Meghan McCain had something to say about that. And there's something going on with Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy. And quite, I'll be very honest with all of you. I'm somewhat uninterested in all of the congressional drama. I'm less focused on Washington, D.C. than I ever have been. I really don't care about the legislative movements in the Republican Party right now. I'm not seeing big, bold, dramatic action. The committees are kind of just for show. And Liz Cheney, the fact she was ever allowed to be in leadership is kind of astonishing to me. But how about Cut 52? Meghan McCain says, and that is the daughter of John McCain and Sidney McCain. The message that's being set by the highest Republicans of members of Congress is that women like me and Liz Cheney, who refuse to bend the knee to President Trump, but still remain loyal Republicans, we don't have a place in the party. It's actually really not about Trump. It's a false way to frame this. Cut 52.
The message that's being sent by the highest member of Republicans in Congress is that women like me and Liz Cheney, who refuse to bend the knee to President Trump, but still remain loyal Republicans, we don't have a place in this party. We are worthless. We are not worth fighting for to keep. And I think it is Kafkaesque to try and spin this in a way that this is about anything else but her not supporting President Trump.
So look, it's actually not about President Trump at all. In fact, it's more about, and I'll give you an example why it's not about President Trump. It's more about whether or not you understand the ethos or the values or the ideas of where the Republican Party is headed. Do you want the Republican Party to be a corporate party and an open border party and an endless foreign interventionist war party? Or do you want the Republican Party to be some kind of a spokesperson for the Chamber of Commerce? And so I actually had a really good time this last weekend. Connor knows this, man. Congressman Chip Roy and I actually spent about 45 minutes together, and I don't agree with how Congressman Roy handled the January 6th stuff. I think he threw the president under the bus far too quickly. And we actually really didn't talk much about that. Instead, we had a really good conversation about where the party is going. I thanked him for speaking out against the Asian hate crime bill. We talked about how we should basically have very strict immigration policy, both legally and illegally. And we need to break up these tech companies. It was a great conversation. And Congressman Roy sat through a lot of my speech. And so the point is that I wasn't going to just hold him against what I think was something he did not handle correctly back in January. He was saying, hey, what are you doing right now? So this is kind of this false framing right now, as if there's this kind of Trump litmus test. And so let me be very clear. If you're continually unfair around Donald Trump and you make it a shtick, I am not going to be okay with that. But I'm also very focused on what are you doing right now? What ideas do you hold? And so when Liz Cheney goes and fist bumps Joe Biden, and that's the Republican leader, yeah, I'm going to have problems with that. When Liz Cheney comes out, and there's this phrase, it's kind of this empowered victim, which is that as soon as you get to play the victim and you show that other Republicans are attacking you, you become a darling of the activist media. If you want to be loved by CNN and the New York Times, just say other Republicans are attacking me for standing for everything that you love. All of a sudden you become the most popular. Just look at Asa Hutchinson from Arkansas, who actually did something not terrible today. I think we've been pretty let's say, gloves off towards Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas, he actually signed a bill banning critical race theory. And that is a great lesson. Why did Asa Hutchinson sign that bill? It's because he got so much chin music from the conservative music movement. If you guys don't know what chin music is, it's a baseball analogy. Excuse my baseball analogies. I don't watch baseball anymore, so I just have memories of baseball. Which is, Asa Hutchinson was like, hey, I don't want Tucker Carlson to come after me again. How can I compensate for that? He compensated it by banning critical race theory in schools in Arkansas. Good job, Governor Hutchinson. I hope other governors are learning. And that goes to show that you have the power. The voters have the power to make the Republican Party go in a healthy direction, to build a multiracial party of workers that want to end these endless wars and secure our borders and put our countrymen first and challenge the scam of college and break up the corporate oligarchy, boost college attendance, reduce drug opioids, reduce divorce rates, and have more American-born children. That's what the Republican Party should stand for, not the Chamber of Commerce agenda. Let the Democrats do that.
Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future, and with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent, so why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard amazing things about Andrew and Todd, so take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com.
I want the conservative movement to start to think in multiple steps, not just the fight that the left is posing in front of us, but where they are trying to bring us and lead us. We do a lot of this on this program. We make a lot of predictions, and this is a prediction that we made correctly. I have been saying this all across the country. I said it again last night, actually, at Dream City Church, where the Democrats do not want to abolish the police force. They don't. Some of you have probably heard me say this earlier this week. The Democrats do not want to get rid of police. They want to force a condition that will make crime go up, that will allow them to have a federal government takeover of police or a federal police force. Now, we predicted this on an April 23rd podcast. Let's go back in the archives of the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, Play Cut 61. Hey, everybody, what are the true motivations behind the abolish police movement? What if I told you that they want a national police force? That they actually want police that work for them? And now Cut 62, breaking today, what we predicted on this program, not I, but we, our team collectively. Cut 62, news reports of the Department of Justice might take over the Portland Police Bureau. Didn't take long. Cut 62.
A supposed lack thereof of transparency may give the Department of Justice an excuse to take over the Portland Police Bureau. Should I repeat that? Did you know that that was happening right now? It's a big story, and this is a big week for it, one that we've been waiting for, at least been told to wait for, since the DOJ sent this warning letter to PPB demanding a response. I asked the city attorney about this. They said this, quote, the parties have agreed that the city will provide a response by Friday, May 7th, 2021, which is this Friday.
Not a big surprise if you study the left and you know that they are always going to indulge their totalitarian impulses. They will use the promise of utopia to eventually have a small group of rather tactical sociopaths to exert control over you. Cut 63, back on the archives of the Charlie Kirk Show, we talked about this at length. Now, why is it important to talk about things that you are able to predict? Well, it's important, and Rush used to do this all the time, God bless him, because then you're able to say what even comes next beyond that and how to stop it. If you understand how the left operates and the pattern of which they are able to make decisions, It makes you a more informed activist and voter, and you should not be taken by surprise when these things happen. Cut 63. They don't like the fact that police forces are able to implement their own standards of conduct. That's why the Department of Justice is marching in to the city of Minneapolis to go investigate George Floyd's killing. Wasn't that the whole point of the trial? No. You see, this is, you guys got to look at this three-dimensional. Why is Merrick Garland marching the Department of Justice into Minneapolis? He wants to nationalize the Minneapolis police force. That's why. To enforce certain laws that they want to see enforced that go after conservatives and not enforce other ones. They want to create a modern equivalent of a national police force. I think we cut that a little short. And then I had a piece on April 30th in Human Events. Defund the police is a Trojan horse. The real objective is a national police force. It's now coming to Portland, and they will assume control of the local police departments. So we had a listener. I want to thank this listener who emailed this to me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Alex, who said, hello, my name is Alex. I'm a Turning Point president at Portland State University. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Department of Justice has taken over the Portland Bureau of Police. Is this legal? I don't know. They'll find a way to make it legal, though. We are not a nation of laws. We're a nation of political will. Where you want a certain outcome, they'll find some way to contort some statute or sign some executive order or have some judge rule in their favor. Laws do not stop these people. They are mere suggestions or speed bumps in their conquest for a totalitarian power grab. So what is the deeper lesson about the left nationalizing the police force? Which, again, Republicans should have been leading on this for quite some time. But they're so focused on just what's happening in front of them. You see, they're so focused on, oh, it's a bad idea to abolish the police. It was never about that. It was never about abolishing the police. It was about making blood pour through the streets. It was about having the rapes and murders and arsons and robberies go up, where then people will then eventually scream, federal government, save us, because we have been abandoned by our local leaders. It's about creating a crisis. We have crisis manufacturers in our country, and they are good at it. The crisis manufacturers in our country intentionally force the hand of something you don't want to see, where the only salvation you could possibly have is the federal government coming in. And this war on local police is about removing sheriffs. It's about removing decentralized control. The Democrats don't like things that they can't control, and I don't even want to call them Democrats. It is totalitarians. And I believe that every single fifth grader in America, and again when they're a freshman in high school, and again when they're a senior in high school, should have to take a class on the history of totalitarianism. If you want to make America a strong country, show them the pattern that every single country seems to find itself at some point in time, a pattern that is built into the DNA of our fallen nature, which is to have a smaller and smaller group of people control more and more while they provide us just enough to survive, but not enough to thrive and to have ambition, take risks, build new things. An aristocracy, an autocracy, an oligarchy, whatever you might want to call it, the founding fathers found this viewpoint to be repugnant, immoral, against the correct and proper view of a constitution. But this is where we're headed. And this is what I call the great squeeze. The great squeeze coming from Menlo Park, California and Washington, D.C. Where are the richest counties in America? Where are they? Where are the richest counties? Well, the richest counties in America are around Washington, D.C. and Menlo Park in the Bay Area. The highest income counties in America. Loudoun County, Virginia. Howard County, Virginia. Fairfax, Virginia. And then Santa Clara, California. Arlington County, Virginia. The only one that's there that is not exactly applicable, but it's actually where all the pharmaceutical companies are headquartered, is Hunterdon County in New Jersey. Many of you might know that New Jersey is the capital of pharmaceutical land, USA. And then the eighth most wealthy county is San Mateo County, California. So the great squeeze that is happening on America is a bi-coastal squeeze. of people that run Facebook and people that run the Department of Justice, people that run Google and people that run the EPA. And they're the problem, the fixation that they have is why on earth do we have to continue to be in a country with the deplorables, or otherwise known as the kulaks, to use a Soviet Union example. We talked about this on Monday, which the kulaks in the Soviet Union were middle-class folks who owned a couple acres and they made some money and employed some people, and they were the targets of the ruling class of the Soviet Union and the Bolsheviks. Take their land away. It is evil, wrong, to own any part of the earth, especially that much of the earth. And so where do these ideas come from? We talk about this quite some time. It comes from, for quite some time, college campuses and high schools that are teaching our children this sort of ideology. And now they finally have an ally as the president of the United States, Joe Biden, or whomever that is, with the people around him, that are willing to use the apparatus of government and corporate power to squeeze out your values, where this is the top-down revolution, where they are preemptively striking middle America because they feel that you, the plumber, the welder, the mom, the dad, the teacher, the taxi driver, or the auto repair shop owner, that you are the problem. And the only way this is going to get remedied is if the last vessel of power we have politically left, the Republican Party, starts to realize what's actually happening here. This is not a policy debate, and this might be my biggest complaint against Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, I think, believes that we're still in some sort of a Socratic back and forth, that everyone means well. Now, this is an absolute totalitarian-style power grab being executed by people that do not share our values and want to make America in an image that none of us want to ever see actually happen. And this has been manifested itself in a variety of different ways. From college campuses to corporate boardrooms. And we get questions about this all the time, which is, why is it that the powerful people are so fixated on us? Conservatives, Christians, everyday Americans, people that are part of working with their hands, or as we call it on this program, the muscular class. You've been crushed by the lockdowns. You've been crushed by the massive corporations. And so the Republican Party, if it really takes its voters seriously, can make some massive changes to this. It's actually a very exciting time for the conservative movement. It's an exciting time for the conservative movement because outside of partisan politics, 80% of the country, 80% outside of the people that live in McLean, Virginia, outside of the people that live in West Hollywood and Winnetka, Illinois, or Highland Park, Texas, 80% of the country of all races and all backgrounds, all religious beliefs, they know in their soul and their spirit that it is not good for our republic to have the great squeeze executed from corporate America and from unelected, faceless bureaucrats of the fourth branch of government. And God bless our founding fathers, because we still have some time to work this out. And this is what makes a republic different than a democracy. A republic is intentionally slow. A democracy is fast. A republic takes time to revolutionize our systems. A republic, by definition, is decentralized. Story I read on the airplane, actually, from Seattle to Phoenix. A very nice passenger. We're all wearing masks. I don't know how people recognize me with masks. But he said, here, you want to read this, right? I said, yeah, sure. And it was the Epoch Times. They do a really nice job, I have to say. Epoch Times. I'm sure a lot of you have seen them. And a story struck me immediately. I don't know if it was the front page. I guess it was. I don't know. Anyway, I said, oh, I know that high school. And it's a story called The Cost of Lockdowns. And I said, oh, man, I know Glenbrook North. So I went to Wheeling High School in Chicago. A lot of you have heard me say that. It was a great high school when I went there, by the way. It was a place where no one cared about who your parents were, where you came from. You worked hard. you treated people with mutual respect. The entire other portion of District 214 just was kind of all upper middle class white spoiled kids, and Wheeling was the working class school. It was awesome. It really was. And so it's not awesome anymore. They're all no critical race theory nonsense. And so I saw this Glenbrook North down the street from where I grew up. It was kind of the rich kid school, quite honestly. It was the equivalent of what would be Chaparral here in Phoenix, or anyway, Highland Park High School in Texas. And so I read the story and I said, you know what? At some point, these leaders who have been running our country, they're going to have to answer for stories like this. They're going to have to answer. Story of Dylan Buckner. I'm going to read from the story. Chris Buckner, Dylan's father, points to photos and toys of cheetahs, saying Dylan liked the animals because of their speed. He gestures to a large model of a fish, a life-size replica of the first one he caught with Dylan. On January 7th, the 18-year-old Dylan Buckner took his own life. Due to depression, his father says, because of the lockdowns caused by J.B. Pritzker and the pandemic. And there's this whole spread here in the Epoch Times. No indications of depression, no indications of any issues. He was the quarterback of the team, looks to be an award-winning quarterback, very talented. And his dad said, quote, there is no doubt in his mind that the school closures and the state's aggressive stay-at-home orders aggravated and worsened Dylan's mental health to the point of no return. At what point are parents going to start pushing back against these school boards and these maniacs that are literally creating conditions where we are seeing a rise in teen suicides that we have never seen before? This story is heartbreaking of Dylan Buckner here at Glenbrook North High School. And we're just supposed to accept this? It's a tragic article. You guys can check it out at Epoch Times. Nicole Avena, who's a neuroscientist at Mount Sinai School of Medicine, of course she won't be on TV anytime soon for saying this, people are worried about a second wave, but I guarantee you we will have a second wave of mental health crisis. I encourage all of you to become very aware of four letters, FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, which means that you can FOIA all of your local officials. Ask them for the suicide data in your local area versus year over year. Almost every major area across the country has seen an increase. And J.B. Pritzker, you worthless guy who was born on third and thought you hit a triple, this death is on you. And J.B. Pritzker, you are the bottom of the barrel, man. You're a self-righteous, entitled sloth who has never done anything meaningful in your life. And I have to read stories of kids that I know the type of kid this is, in a beautiful community who was on pace to have a full life. And he took his life because of you, J.B. Pritzker, because you locked down society. And we want to stop the spread. The CDC says that the suicide rate of males has increased. It's the second leading cause of death for young people in America right now. Not the Chinese coronavirus, the second leading cause of death. And if anyone's struggling with that right now, you know you can always email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's a very real problem. It's not something we should be trivializing. It's not something, and everyone should be unafraid to talk about it and communicate with it. But our leaders did this. They have created this condition that have interrupted the development of children all across the country. And I hope that the adults, the leaders in our society, start to take this very seriously, because they currently aren't. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.